Yahweh inspired Moshe to write the following words. This one and only, it's from Zeth. Family-oriented, covenant relationship of mine, from Bereth, saying that the covenant is Yahweh's. It is God's family. It's Yahweh's home. And there's only one of them. This one and only family of mine. Doesn't give any reason, any hope for Christianity with its New Testament, with its new covenant, with its new deal. Which relationally and beneficially, Asher, you should continuously and actually observe Shamar. Well, that's another death knell in the coffin of Christianity. No Billy Graham crusade ever urged people in that audience to be observant. They don't tell them, you know, you really ought to examine the Torah. You ought to consider what God is saying. And then join, act upon his one and only family. Not one. No, it's all about you confessing to God, not listening to him, and then believing. That's the antithesis of observation. He goes on to say, you should continuously and actually observe this one and only family-oriented covenant relationship of mine. Between me and between you. Bien, for the purpose of understanding. Since bien is my favorite Hebrew word. Hello, Kirk. Good morning. Could you let our listeners know the three letters that comprise the Hebrew word for making connections so as to understand?
Well, it looks like it's a B-Y-N, but the Hebrew letters, of course, are the bet, which is the house, the home, the family, family covenant. What did I say, B-Y-N? Yah's hand reaching down, the Yod, which is him reaching down and reaching out with an open hand to pick us up and to lift us. And the Nun, which is is like a modern day symbol of a sperm that moves that inheritance, the family inheritance, talking about generations to come, ongoing generations.
Yep, Yah's hand. His reaching down to lift us up is him welcoming us, is how we become members of his family. That's how we're born into his family. With him reaching down his hand to lift us up is how we're born into his family and gain the inheritance into his family. Mm-hmm. And that's what the letters that comprise Bien mean. So do you think maybe there's a connection between that and the covenant?
I would think. I would certainly think, yes.
Are there some common letters between BN and covenant? How about two of them?
Well, there's two of them. There's the D once again.
Right.
And the Yod.
Right. Yod was hand and the home. And so do you think that maybe Yahweh is making a connection between, in this statement, his Bereth, his family and home, the concept of being observant, which is to closely examine and carefully consider, and then the next word, which is bien, to make connections so that you understand.
Understand. Mm-hmm.
So is he saying, you know, if you observe the terms and conditions of the covenant, if you pay attention to what I'm offering you, that maybe you'll come to understand it and therefore receive its benefits. So he's got covenant, benefit, examine and consider and understand. That is, as I used to say, the whole McGillicuddy. I don't know who McGillicuddy is, but
well,
that's the whole thing.
Okay, showing your age there now.
Yeah. But that's the whole, that's it. You want a summary? Observe the terms and conditions of the covenant so that you closely examine and carefully consider them, you will come to bien, understand them, and as a result, you will asher, benefit, for as being part of Yahweh's Bereth family.
Has no one ever considered how many times a parent will say to a child, you know, or a young person, you know, don't get married yet, don't get involved yet, why don't you get to know this person?
Yeah.
They always consider that to be the best advice, and we learn it usually late because we're anxious to fall in love and run away.
Right. But, or the idea as parents, we would tell our children, you know, you really ought to not engage in overt sexual activity with this girl or boy until such time as you have a deep, committed relationship. That you've really come to know them, that you love them, that you know that this is the person for you. You really ought to forestall that until such time as you know the person. And parents have for centuries told their children, you know, don't go off and marry that person. You really know them. Right. And so that's what Jan was saying is take the time to get to know who I am. And get to know what this family is all about and what I'm offering. And if you closely examine and carefully consider who I am and what I'm offering, and you therefore make the connections between who I am and what I'm offering, and that leads you then to understanding, then you're going to asher benefit relationally from my family as being part of my home.
And it's a two-sided coin. He'd like to see whether you're really that interested in being part of his family.
Of course.
He's watching you, too.
I mean, right, and if you're not interested in the effort that it takes to observe and the mental exercise of understanding, then he doesn't want you to be part of his family. He literally doesn't. Yahweh's goal is not to save everybody. It's to be discriminating so that he saves his children.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be part of his family, he's going to save you, because that's what fathers do. But if you don't want to be part of his family, he doesn't care.
No, he's not interested in short-term relationships.
I mean. No. So this is just a marvelous juxtaposition of words. We came to this because Paul besmirched circumcision and said the circumcision was not only not required for salvation, but was counterproductive to one's salvation. And so we're here because we wanted to contrast Paul's lies with Yahweh's message. But in the process, this is just a marvelous juxtaposition of words. I mean, there's not a lot of words here, but thus far we have one and only Zeth, one and only covenant of mine. That it's Yahweh's, it's not a Jewish thing, it's not a religious thing, it doesn't belong to Israel, it doesn't belong to Jews, it doesn't belong to rabbis, and there absolutely can't be two of them.
No.
So there can't be a different, new covenant. Can't be. I got one. I got one and only. Now, God's timeless, so if he conceived a second version, because the first version was mean, as Paul said, and was counterproductive, but the first version wouldn't work, and God had a second version, would he say one and only?
No, hardly. And he wouldn't say forever all the time.
No, but here, this one and only. God's timeless.
Yeah.
I mean, he exists throughout all time. His message is true for all time. He has been to our future. If God was going to scrap this one, or if God was just going to add an additional one, have a second one, he would have said, you know, this one of two covenant relationships of mine.
Or at least one until.
Yeah, and he said, you know, this one is about observation. That other one is going to be about ignorance, about faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that is another death knell for Christianity. You don't come to this family through blind faith. You come to this family by close and careful examination, consideration, and making the connections that lead to understanding. That's how you come to the family of God. That's what this says. It's the opposite of what Christians say.
Yeah, an open-minded learner.
An open-minded learner. Willing and willing to make the connections that lead to understanding.
And if that was so, or not so, he wouldn't have said, Yahweh's Torah is completely and entirely perfect, lacking nothing, helpful, beneficial, etc., etc. I mean, why would he say that if it wasn't good?
Yeah, and he says it is the means to restore souls in that same statement.
Yeah.
So here, this is so few words, and it provides a comprehensive answer that completely undermines every religion and lays us face-to-face, opens the door so we are face-to-face with Yahweh, his home, his family, and the means to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, it is exactly as we have been presenting it all these many years. This one and only family-oriented covenant relationship of mine, which relationally and beneficially you should actually and continuously observe, closely examining and carefully considering. It's between for the purpose of understanding, of getting to know and appreciate me and you. And between for the purpose of helping your offspring understand your seed following you, after you.
Right.
For all generations, no matter where you live or when you live. So if this covenant was for all time and for all people, no matter what generation they were born into, which when you're talking about door generation, you're not just talking about Jews, you're talking about all people. You're not just talking about Israel, you're talking about all places. And Dor speaks of all time. All people, all places, all time. Boy, now, how do you get a New Testament out of that?
You don't. You just have to lie.
You just have to
lie. That's what he did.
And all of this was for the express purpose of understanding so that those who are observant, closely examining, carefully considering the covenant, can benefit from it. It is a marvelous way to introduce the things that God cares about. And we're going to return and consider what he had to say about circumcision in this regard in a moment. This one and only, this particular, singular, unique, and specific covenant of mine, family-oriented relationship, mutually binding, familial agreement of mine. My household promise, my relational accord, my marriage vow based upon home and family, feminine, singular, written in the first person, singular suffix, thereby reminding us that this one and only covenant is God's. It is his family, which relationally and beneficially, Asher, by way of making a connection, developing an association, benefiting and blessing you, you should actually and continuously observe, Shamar. You should carefully and literally consider. You should diligently and consistently pay especially close attention to the details so that you genuinely understand, you care about and revere what you witness throughout the whole fabric of time, and that by focusing upon this, you are kept safe and secure. Between me, for the purpose of coming to know and understand me as a result of being perceptive, prudently considering the insights which are discernible regarding me, and between you, to cause you to be aware and to understand, making connections. And between, for the purpose of coming to know and relating to your offspring, your seed, following you. For you to actually circumcise. Accordingly, your every male, for them to remember. Circumcise is mul. Accordingly, your every is the lamed. Kol, and then male for them to remember is Zakar. So this one and only covenant has one and only means to remember, one and only sign,
mm-hmm.
one and only way of designating its offspring, and that is circumcision, the very thing that Paul used as the fulcrum to differentiate his religion from Yahweh's relationship.
Yeah, he claims he's free from it. We're free from it now, that restraining enslavement and circumcision.
Of the flesh, yeah, that thing of the flesh. We are that was of the flesh and therefore evil, circumcision. And faith is of the spirit and therefore good. Yahweh just said the opposite in every possible way. So circumcision. The May, the Wa, and the Lamed.
Uh-huh.
What can we get out of that?
Well, if you obviously on the Mem, or we have our best definition, of course, or the best part of the letter is the life, you know, in cleansing. We cut
so,
water.
Okay, let's just think about this. Life giving and cleansing conceptions conveyed by Mem, which was drawn as waves to designate water. Life-giving and cleansing. And in this particular instruction is to what part of the human anatomy?
Oh, it's the male member.
Yeah, the male reproduction member. That member of the male anatomy here, it is the part that the seed comes from, right? The sperm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the part of the male anatomy that joined with a woman and wife in marriage leads to children and family. Correct.
Right.
It's the thing that turns a marriage into a family
mm-hmm.
when operated correctly. All right. So he is associating the male reproductive organ here with life giving. Me sees a connection. How about you?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty. This is not the hard part. You
know? This is really not a hard part, is it?
No,
this is, he's telling you, you know, most fellows are aware that, you know, that part of the body is a part of the body that will cause a woman to get pregnant if not used and operated correctly, and is good to get a woman pregnant if it's your wife. So, you know, this is not a hard part, but he is now associating that with circumcision, the life-giving nature of this organ. Long before you began to focus on what the letters convey artistically, mm-hmm. I realized that the sign of the covenant is the male reproductive organ, because Yahweh was telling us that this is about being conceived as children into his family. And what better part of a guy to help us remember what the covenant is all about than to clip that part of us and separate a section of it that is about conceiving children.
Yeah, get your attention.
Yeah, and isn't the covenant simply about conceiving children?
Mm-hmm. Right, increasing.
So now we understand why it's the sign.
Right.
Welcome back to Shattering This. Yahweh chose circumcision as the sign of the covenant. Therefore, there are symbolisms associated with circumcision that we benefit from understanding. And the first is life-giving. And we've talked about how Mem conveys the source of life. Life emerged in water. We are born in water. You know, even Yosha said, you know, unless a person is born of water and spirit, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so being born of water, life having started in water, according to Yahweh and science, water being the essence of life, are part of that. But the Mem is also about cleansing, isn't it, Kirk?
Mm-hmm. You have to be, if you want to live forever, then you better be cleaned of your nature.
Right.
There you go.
All right. And so when a man has been circumcised, is it easier or harder for the part of his body that he's going to share with his wife. Is it easier or harder for to keep it clean?
Well, it'd be easier, of course.
Much, yeah. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why there are some forms of cancer in men that men who have circumcised never get. And it's why throughout Africa there are major political campaigns urging the circumcision of all men because they're less likely to pass on venereal diseases. So, yes, there's a cleansing, clean aspect of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. So both are prevalent.
Yeah.
So you've got the mem as the first letter of circumcision.
Right.
But that's not the last. There's two more.
No, we have the wall, and even though we describe it as to secure a tent peg, pardon me, we are also, it is to enlarge the family, and as the symbolism there. So obviously we're trying to, he's trying to enlarge the family, and let me see, increase and add, secure, right. And a secure family too. Yeah.
Boy, there are so many innuendos there that remember. But what's funny here is that every aspect of WA applies, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, every, to increase, to add to grow. I mean, every aspect of the law, and particularly as the law was conveyed in Hebrew, which is to increase the size of the family.
Right.
I mean, every innuendo works. Yahweh's example of what he wants us to do, and he calls it a symbol, you know, his symbolism plays the entire chorus.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably a lot of it's intended.
You know, and that's not just a little off remark there we're talking about. It. It's funny, I took your challenge on Friday with Shaw. And I broke it down. I thought this would be simple. I'll get this down in a few minutes. And many hours later, I've got three pages on it. I mean, it's just this relates to this, relates to this, relates to this. And I'm saying, my gosh. And the same thing, what you might notice around the word circumcision, the two words that lead up to it and a couple of the words that lead out to it, every one of them talks of future children. It talks of else around it. Yeah, it's not like an isolated word in the middle of a sentence. I mean, every word is strategically chosen to emphasize even more.
Right. Zera was the word that came before. Zera is the seed, right?
That's right. And it's a plow. And what do you do with a plow? You make the ground receptive.
To make us receptive to what he had to say. So to make us receptive to what he had to say, to make our offspring receptive, you've got to open up the mind, the furrows of the mind, so that the good seed can be planted, so that it takes root and grows. And if you don't do it that way, then there's no hope. And it's but Zera is not just the plow. The Z.
No,
the second letter is you're opening up what? What is it that you're making receptive?
You're going to open up your mind, your brain.
Mind, right.
Think.
Right. Open your eyes, open your ears, open your mind. That's what Zera is. And then I don't know if the third letter is an Ain or an
Ain.
Then that's
a third. Duh.
My goodness. That's to open up and make receptive your eyes, your ears, and your mind so that you can have the proper perspective, so that you can understand, so that you can see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Zera. Wow. After you, is to circumcise your every male so that they can remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so circumcise, you have the mem and the wa, but there's a third letter.
The lamb, the symbol of what the uses to guide his sheep, you know, determined right. for direction, and that's what Torah means, isn't it? Direction.
Right.
One of the four.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, when they tried to translate Torah into Greek, they chose a word to nourish, to provide nourishment, which leads to an inheritance, is nomos, the basis of the verb and verb form
good.
Of it in Greek. Yeah, it's a nourishment that leads to an inheritance. And the lamed is as a preposition. The letter here means to approach, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's always like the to or forward or right. towards something. Right. You know, it's a preposition, yeah.
You want to approach the shepherd who is responsible for our protection, for our nourishment, for leading us, for directing us. You want to approach the shepherd then and be made to increase so that the family is increased and made secure. And the means is through the life-giving and cleansing properties of water, which is the Spirit. So the Spirit is the set apart Spirit is always equated to the Mem, the water. Correct?
Correct.
And didn't Yahusha say that, you know, if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, talking to Nicodemus and say, hey, dunderhead, how come you don't understand this? It's written all over the Torah. You claim to be a teacher of the Torah and you don't get this. Why are you asking me when you're a teacher of the Torah? It says you have to be born of water and spirit.
Yep.
And so the Mem represents the spiritual rebirth that leads us to the shepherd. And of water and spirit. Both being conveyed in this word so that we can approach.
Yeah.
Wow. So to now, was circumcision was written with the verb here was written as the infinitive absolute in Hebrew. What the infinitive absolute does in Hebrew is that it intensifies the effect of the action. So it says, literally, genuinely, actually, unequivocally, don't get distracted on this.
Mm-hmm. Water stuff here.
Yeah, I'm saying what I mean to say. Act upon this. Is for you to actually circumcise accordingly. Your every male for them to remember. Remember, Zachar. You know, there's a prophet named Zachariah.
Zachariah.
Zachar is the Hebrew word for male, but the verbal actionable definition. Zachar is a verb, means to remember.
Mm-hmm.
So you could just leave this as male, but then you're negating. And by the way. Yahweh has lots of words for male. Bien would be son, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ish would be a masculine individual, for example. There's Enosh, which is mortal man. Man. There's Adam, which is the man.
Uh-huh. The man.
Yeah, the man. You know, man, Adam. Ish, individual, masculine individual. Enosh, mortal individual. Bien, son. So he chose Zachar, male.
Mm-hmm.
For a reason. Yeah, for a reason. Absolutely. And didn't put Bien, son, didn't put Enosh, mortal, male, Adam, man, or Ish, masculine individual there, because there's something about Zachar that would aid in our understanding.
Right.
And when you go to the verbal roots, Zachar means to remember. How about the letters that comprise Zachar?
Well, once again, you have the Zain, the one we use as the Z, which is a plow, which makes the ground receptive, as we viewed it a minute ago.
Receptive for seed, right?
For seed, yes.
Yeah, does he have a seed, a word for seed anywhere in this statement? Zerah.
Yeah,
your offspring, your seed. So to make your offspring receptive.
Zerah,
right? So that your offspring are receptive to Yahweh's testimony. That's what he's saying here. Okay, so we start with the plow.
Sorry, you've been. Yeah, we started with the plow, and of course, that was the make the ground receptive and so forth. Right. And then we had the cough, which is the open hand, which is the greeting. So if you are receptive, if you're made receptive,
receptive to the greeting. Did you find it? Is there a greeting anywhere in this Torah?
Well, there's Yah's hand reaching down to greet us and help us up. So with an open hand, so I think so.
Did Yahweh greet Abraham?
Absolutely.
When you throw a party to meet somebody and you invite them to attend because you want to meet them, would that be considered a greeting?
Absolutely.
In fact, is the term mikra based on korah? Isn't the verbal meaning that underlies the noun, which is the noun is an invitation to be called out and to meet, but isn't the verbal root to meet of korah?
Yes. Uh-huh.
In fact, it's to meet by reading and reciting.
Yes, exactly.
So here you have the open hand to meet. For those who are receptive, who are open to the good seed growing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a third letter, isn't there?
And that's the Rosh. And the Rosh is the R sound, but it's also the head of a man who, once again, who is engaged in thinking and considering, carefully considering, viewing, hearing.
Do you think that's why he began this with the verb shamar?
Observe. I think so. To observe.
Yeah, we'll be back in a moment. Kirk, I know that you are a grammatarian and that you relish every reference to Hebrew grammar. And so when I say that mul, for you to actually circumcise, was written in the Niphil stem, that you're all over that. And you're ready to go to share with our listeners how the Niphil
affects. This is so... That's so easy, I'm going to let Scott answer it. That just didn't.
Oh, okay. It's so easy. It's so easy. Even Scott can do it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, did you ever.
Yeah. That was quick. I see how the mind works under pressure.
That's funny. All right. I'm going to jump in on the Niphil stem, not because I am in any way, shape, or form a grammatarian, a scholar, or a schmert. But because I looked it up, so I am at least prepared.
Yeah, I can't get to mine, but it's on the floor over there. But go ahead.
Okay, yeah. The Niphil stem is used to convey the voice of genuine relationships. So this, you know, it follows three uses of bien. So it's bien, wa bien, wa bien, which is making connections finding a relationship between things. The Niphil stem conveys the voice of relationships, where the subject, which is us, you know, you and me. Right. Receives the benefit of the verb's action, which is circumcision, which it says that if we are circumcised, we benefit from it. That's what the Niphil stem conveys.
Right.
There's a benefit to circumcision. Can you think of a benefit of circumcision?
Well, you can't go into Passover without it. You can't.
That's a pretty good benefit, right?
That's the biggest one I know.
With circumcision, you can participate in Passover, which means you can become immortal. I would say that's a benefit. With circumcision, you have the sign of the covenant, which means you can be part of Yahweh's family.
Family.
And inherit all that he has to give. I'm going to put another star up there and say that's on the benefit side.
Oh, yeah.
Yahweh tells us in Ezekiel that circumcised males are able to enter heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I would call that a benefit.
There
are some benefits associated with the circumcision. But that aren't just the health benefits associated with circumcision.
That's good too. Absolutely.
Yeah. So lots of benefit all the way around, and that's what the Niphil stem is conveying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think we have Glenn on the line here. Is it it's Glenn. Hi, Glenn. You have a comment on circumcision?
No, language.
Language. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just hoping you're better at Hebrew than English, because it's grammarian.
Grammarian?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well,
I can never be one.
You know, that's what that serves to prove, and I'm glad that you corrected me here, grammarian, is that that I am not one. I am not one. I mean, I only understand the Hebrew grammar from a relational point of view, from a mood volitional point of view, and from a timeline perspective. Is it ongoing behavior or one and done? And so it is always good to have my lack of qualifications exposed, because, quite frankly, the less you respect my qualifications, the better off every listener is going to be. Because I'm not coming to this as a scholar. I'm just sharing with you what the stems, the moods, the conjugations convey, not because we want to be experts in grammar, but because we want to be experts in what God is offering.
Yeah.
You betcha.
I understand. Yeah.
I have a list. I've been keeping a list.
Oh, you're keeping a list of absolute proof that when I say that I have no qualifications, which any person should respect, that I am indeed telling the truth in that regard.
Yeah. Things like frequently incorrect use of the incorrect form of the indefinite article, that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah. You know, it was one of the interesting things, Glenn, that when I began the transition from just writing to radio, that I realized that my screw-ups like this were going to cause a level of embarrassment and therefore chip away at what little credibility I might otherwise have. And at first that was a little uncomfortable, and then it became very comfortable, because the only people God really likes to use are flawed individuals.
It's the only scum he has.